So today we begin our new sermon series. Miraculous. New year, new sermon series. You see, the miracles of Jesus Christ changed people's lives then and continue to change people's lives today. So we're going to examine them and we're going to seek to apply them to our very lives. Today specifically, we're going to look at the miracle of water into wine. Before we get in on that, which we read about in John chapter 2, before we do, turn to that text, I want to just share a brief introduction. In Acts chapter 2, verse 22, we read the Apostle Peter's words as he preached to the crowds. Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs, which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know. And Peter goes on, however, I want to hold us there. Jesus Christ was attested to, which means provided with clear evidence. He was attested to by God. We call this provided clear evidence, miracles and wonders. Notice that Peter said the miracles were performed through him, that is Jesus Christ, in the people's midst, not in secret, not some fables, but things they knew and witnessed themselves. I often think of the account in Matthew chapter 12 or Mark chapter 3, depending on what gospel you're reading, where Jesus Christ casts out demons, does a miraculous wonder, and the people around him say, he does this by the power of Beelzebub, a false god, Satan, if you will. So they saw the miracle, but they denied the power thereof. And they surely did not have the necessary spiritual discernment. They surely did not have the necessary spiritual discernment to understand the spiritual realities being manifest by those miracles. You see, miracles are signs. Signs are not the reality themselves. The stop sign isn't necessarily the reality. The stop sign is telling you to stop so that you don't face the unfortunate reality that would happen if you don't. It's encouraging you to pay attention because there's something going on here. The miracles are signs. Jesus just didn't do exciting things for excitement's sake or amazement's sake. He did amazing things because they point to even greater amazing realities. Miracles are signs, and signs are not the reality, but point to the reality. And that's our goal. For the next few weeks, we are going to review the miracles of Jesus. Not only are we going to review what happened and what the miracle was that changed the situation, we are also going to discern the spiritual reality of the miracle. What is the miracle? What is the miracle all about? Each week we will visit the miracles of Jesus outlined for us in the fourth gospel. Traditionally, we refer to that as the Gospel of John. Let's go ahead and turn to John chapter 2. That's on page 1059 of the Pew Bible. Starting at verse 1, we'll read down to verse 11. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does that have to do with me?" Picking back up at verse 4, and Jesus said to her, Woman, what does that have to do with us? My hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Now, there were 6 stone water pots set there for the Jewish custom of purification, containing 20 or 30 gallons each. Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. So they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, draw some out and take it to the head waiter. And they took it to him. When the head waiter tasted the water, which had become wine, and did not know that it, where it came from, but the servants had already, but who had to draw the water knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, every man serves the good wine first. And when the people have drunk freely, then he serves the poorer wine. But you have kept the good wine until now. This beginning of his signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifest his glory, and his disciples believed in him. So let's take this apart a bit. What happened? Verse 3 tells us they ran out of wine. Right? When they ran out of wine. Some might want to say what happened was there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. Yes, that's true. The issue that we're dealing with at that wedding is that they ran out of wine. And that's where the miracle comes from. The water into wine. Some have joked in some commentaries and some thoughts would be that they ran out of wine because Jesus and the disciples were there. They must have been enjoying themselves. However, as we move in on this story, first, let's ask ourselves, how did the miracle change the situation? And we see in verses 9 through 11, it says that they tasted the wine. They tasted the wine, and they realized that this wine was amazing. It was good wine. And this is just the beginning, as verse 11 tells us. However, notice the point here. His disciples believed in him. That's the goal of the miracles, right? To cause us to have a firmer, stronger, more foundational, more advanced, more maturing faith. To believe in him all the more. That's why God works his wonders. Not only that we would believe in him, but that we would believe that he is a rewarder, amen? We know in Hebrews 11 it tells us that we must believe that he is, but we also must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And then he gives us the reality of what we're seeking, which is our mission. All of the miracles of Jesus point to the mission. They're all about the mission. They outline the mission for us, matter of fact. And we're going to see that as we lean in on what is the spiritual reality of the miracle, the water into wine. Let's examine and apply it a bit. You see, when you look at John chapter 2, verse 1, it tells us that on the third day, there was a wedding. Now, when you read John chapters 1 through 2, and the booklet I'm going to give you, the RBC booklet, Joy to the Full, that's each week you're going to get a new resource regarding the miracle that we're talking about. And today, it's an RBC booklet, Joy to the Full, and it's going to get in on this third day discussion. And we've talked about it as we examine the prophets, and we notice the way that the third day is used again and again. We see it in the book of Hosea. We see it in the story of Jonah being in the fish 3 days, 3 nights. We see it, of course, in the resurrection of Jesus, and I'm going to get back to that here in a moment. We're going to see the connection between God's miraculous work, the resurrection of Jesus, and ultimately what that points us to today. What's our role in what God is doing in the world, how he's still working wonders. We are third day people, some might say. Third day people, miraculous people. That's how we see that term, third day, used all throughout scripture. It's a wonder working thing. We are people that are called to work wonders. How do we work wonders? Well, what we notice here in this story, the sovereignty of God caused Jesus, his mother, and his disciples to be at this wedding. If they had not been there, this story would not happen. The miracle would not have happened. And dare I say, the disciples would not have believed even more. That's part of our work. And how did Jesus, his mother, and the disciples have the experience to be a part of that miracle? By being there. Simply being there. Be unexpectedly present. That's what we must do. We must be a people who are willing to work wonders by being unexpectedly present, so that God might work through us, so that we might do whatever God wants us to do. Or as the text says right here in verse 5, do whatever he says. That's what Mary says to the servants. And that's what Mary, dare I say, that's what God says to us through any vessel, through Mary as the vessel here. Do what he says to do. And in doing that, you will be unexpectedly present and unexpectedly able to work wonders, miracles in this world. Be a part of God's plan, God's purpose, the church, where his glory and wonder manifests from. And again, notice that in verse chapter 2, verse 11, it also says, he manifested his glory. That's what we are called to do as his body, the church, his hands, his feet. As he is the head, we have that resurrection power within us to work wonders, to do greater things we read about in John chapter 14. That's what we are called to do. And how do we do it? Simply put, by being unexpectedly present, believing that he is, and believing that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, and doing whatever he says to do. It all starts with being present. Look at us walking worthy on this first day of the week. Being present. I want to take your attention to the booklet, the RBC booklet that you'll be receiving as you leave here today. And I want to share just a few thoughts out of the book, which I hope will serve to interest you a bit more in reading through it and examining this miracle. Jumping right in here. There is arguably more than meets the eye here. That is, with on the third day, the evangelist likely intends something more symbolic than merely chronological. As Jackson Abha argues, the idea gains momentum if we consider that John's wording for the third day in the original Greek looks nearly identical to the third day of creation in Genesis 1, as it's written in the Greek Old Testament, Septuagint. Of course, just one chapter earlier, John already drew on Genesis chapter 1 to begin the prologue to his gospel. In the beginning was the Word. Where do we read about the beginning? Of course, right there in Genesis chapter 1. But if John intends to evoke the creation story here, why does he refer to the third day? Perhaps, as Abha suggests, it is because in Genesis 1, on the third day, God took the waters and split them to make land for vegetation, fruit, and seed. The third day was God's first water miracle, where he turned water into land with vegetables and fruit. He caused things to be fruitful. Continuing, notice that after God does this water miracle in Genesis 1, he saw that it was good. So also after the master of the ceremony tasted the wine at the wedding in John chapter 2, he saw that it was good. The same word that occurs in the Greek of Genesis 1. What's more, on the third day, also precludes Jesus' resurrection for John's readers, so that this phrase would serve like a musical overture in a movie preparing the audience for the final climactic event at the end of the gospel. And guess what? John intentionally connects Jesus' resurrection to the new creation. For instance, the beloved disciple underlines how the Messiah was buried and raised in a garden. It was in the garden that Mary mistook Jesus for the gardener. But ironically, she was not totally wrong. Jesus was not a gardener in John. Rather, he is the gardener, the new Adam, initiating the new creation. To borrow from the New Testament scholar N.T. Wright, Tom Wright, Mary's intuitive guess that he, Jesus, must be the gardener was wrong at one level and right, deeply right, at another. This is the new creation. Jesus is the beginning of it, charged with bringing the chaos of God's creation into new order, into flower, into fruitfulness. So what's the point? It's that Jesus' sign in John chapter 2 shows that he was not just sent to save individuals from the earth, like pulling someone out of a dumpster fire, as much as it was to usher in a new heaven and a new earth. In this case, salvation consists not just in rescuing people from a sinking ship, but also in the recovery of the wayward vessel itself. Or as God says in Revelation 21:5, making all things new. And yes, he does that through you, us, ye, you all, the new creation, the church, the manifold wisdom of God, the purpose of the ages. We've experienced a new cleansing. We are a new creation with a new cleansing and a new cheer. That's the point of this book. That's what this book's really going to get in on. I'll share one more point from the book here. This astounding sign in John chapter 2 emphasizes three reoccurring themes particular to the fourth gospel, John's gospel, namely a new creation, a new cleansing, and a new cheer. Amen. So what we learn and discern about the miraculous work of God through this wine, this water into wine, I'm not sure that wine into water would be much of a miracle. However, what we learn and discern about the miraculous nature of God is that God is sovereign. He calls us to move in his sovereignty, to work with him, be unexpectedly present so that we can manifest unexpected miracles. Miracles that will exceed expectations, bring forth realities greater than what we realize. More than meets the eye. I think of the two adjectives that this miracle brings to mind for me would be amazing. How God is always amazing us. He's amazing and wondrous. The wondrous working miracles of God. And how all of this culminates in bringing joy to the full. John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I come that you might have life and have it to the full, which of course is a part of having joy to the full. Amen. Because of the new creation of God. Not just God saving Mike Miano, not just God saving you, but God saving us, his church, his purpose, the new creation, so that we can now manifest and make known the new cleansing. Jesus, his righteousness, being fruitful in him, his purposes in this world, being in the world, not of the world. That's how we can know it, not only know it, but experience it and live it out. Yes, our desire is to experience it personally, but it's to discern it in a manner that we might bring the miraculous to others, that we might be the new wine. You know that worship song that we sing, and if you don't know it, let me remind you of it. It talks about God making new wine out of us, pressing us in this life so he can make new wine, a new creation, new realities, new miracles out of us, thus making joy known to the full. I hope you might do your homework. I want to encourage you to do two things. I want to encourage you to read John chapters 1 and 2 and take note of the days. You'll find yourself saying, why does it bring us to the third day in John chapter 2? They make a great point about that in this booklet, this RBC booklet. Do that work. Do the discerning of that. Learn a little bit more about the third day, how you're called to be a third day person. And then, of course, read this booklet, Joy to the Full, Jesus' first miracle and the hope of a new creation. I hope you found yourself blessed listening to this sermon, and I hope you might continue to live out the miraculous nature of God.